You're on the air. It's 12:16. At 12:30, we have the latest. You're on the air, sir or madam. I can hear a little noise there.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. I thank VOB for this opportunity. I haven't been on this calling program, I believe, since last election. The point that the last guy finished on, I possibly start on, and I don't know how much time you give me, this matter of transparency or freedom of information, I believe that it's about time in Barbados that we have some kind of legislation about freedom of information. For example, let's talk about the CLECO issue. Between my wife and I, we have three policies in CLECO. We wrote the company on a number of occasions with some concerns. We were told on one occasion we went to that company that the information was passed to the judicial manager. This is over, let's say, the last 6 years. Up to now, we have not had a response to letters that we wrote to the company that even had signed for. Okay? Now, I'm sure we take this up with this new company has replaced them. But I just feel that some freedom of information should be available. For example, the public should have an idea. Like those people who, I'm not talking about the amount of money, those who would have taken money out of the company immediately before it's collapsed. Okay? Could I draw on one of your pet peeves, I call it? Because I know it gets your adrenaline going, at least seems that way to me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I believe that you seem to have endorsed this new...
Friday?
I think it was Friday.
David was here on Friday.
Week. No, someday late
I
last
was
week.
I was here Thursday. Thursday.
Just a minute, I think you know what I'm talking about. You seem to have endorsed this new transfer of tax from paying road tax to paying a tax on gasoline.
You said I've endorsed it?
I'm simply saying
that it works in other places.
Yeah.
And what I strive to do is to try to analyze something. You don't just come and say, but this thing can't work.
I'm just clarifying.
You're saying that I endorsed it. No.
I'm simply saying I try to analyze it.
I don't believe in just dismissing something.
I agree with that. Uh-huh. Concern with that is that, for example, I've heard a number of criticisms about the amount of tax already charged on gasoline in Barbados. I believe that we in Barbados pay somewhere, it boils down to about $14 or so, or 13-something per gallon in gasoline. Whereas I think a lot of the other islands in the Caribbean are paying like between possibly around $8 to $9 EC. So I do you agree with me that there's been a lot of criticism about the tax levied on gasoline in Barbados?
Yeah, we did a story in the Nation sometime back on it, but I really can't call the statistics.
I'm serious. In the United States, they possibly pay what, between $2 to $40 per gallon. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding I have some concerns. Not only that, there's a big push right now about, let's say, bringing cars that have renewable sources, battery-driven, perhaps hydrogen-driven vehicles, et cetera, so I have a concern, mm-hmm. because I believe that we're already overtaxed, and gas price is already very high in Barbados. Mm-hmm. Okay?
What I would want is if the Barbados Labour Party does win, and they gain the power, they need to be able to explain this thing properly, because I think that, and based on my reading, I think that it is something that can work. I see it as even bringing in even more money than the
road
tax.
I suspect that will happen.
And you don't necessarily need to have an increase in the price of gas to impose this tax, because the volume of gas that is used annually is so high that even a few cents on that volume, and you will find that you can make a lot of money. But my main interest in this too is that I would really love to see, and this is where your argument of transparency and accountability comes in, that money goes not to the consolidated fund. It goes to a special fund, a separate fund that's allocated just for road repairs and road rehabilitation of some sort.
Isn't that flawed? If you talk road repairs and rehabilitation, isn't that money used primarily to maintain the database of vehicle registration, the data that relates to vehicles?
No.
I was.
Don't
I
forget,
was
all vehicles are licensed, you know. Licensed ain't got nothing to do with road tax. As soon as you buy a vehicle, it's licensed, you know.
As soon as you buy a vehicle, it's licensed?
You have to license your vehicle when you buy it.
But that's what you're paying. But that's what they replace, as far as I know. That's what the road tax is about.
No.
It's associated with your number, the registration number.
But then again, your vehicle. I shouldn't say you know, because it's just another tax to get money.
It's useful. Yeah, we have to go and get vehicles checked and all sorts of things. There's a lot more that goes on MTW than just building roads. That money can build in the highway, for example. No, I want to go on quickly because I got a lot of things to say, and I don't know how far you let me go. In St. John, okay, I have heard that one of the essence and given for Mr. McLean not being chosen as a DLB candidate is his age. Can you imagine anything more ridiculous than that? Somebody saying that they want some person that perhaps could get it at least 10 years. Well, I believe that Mr. Stewart was older than Mr. McLean when he became Prime Minister. And he said he wanted 12 years. So, I mean, this made absolutely no sense to me.
All right, sir, you've made your point. We're trying to get one more call before we go to the news. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Mr. Price.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, man. And I want to thank Dennis for actually giving me the opportunity to. Look, 2 points I want to raise with you. Just a comment on one that you would have discussed. And then I want to look at this headline in the Daily Nation, Irrational Utterances.
That's the editorial.
Editorial. Mm-hmm. Sorry. I was pleased that you did explain the circumstances relating to the sale of the Barbados National Bank, because, you know, Mr. Arthur has been raising this time and time again, and I wonder...
It's not only Mr. Arthur. To be fair, it's not only Mr. Arthur. Okay,
but he's a regular. He's just one of regular.
Yeah,
he's been raising on a regular basis.
Yeah, and it's really not true. Okay, I mean, as somebody said here, when you sell 80%, you really have no control. But the point about it is that 20% was worth much more. It was much more valuable to Barbados than when we had the 100%. And that was the reality of it.
And I'm really interested in the politics of it, only that. But I'm saying that when that bank was offered for sale, shares were offered to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And then when ICB was offered for sale,
all the political rhetoric around all those shares?
That, but what I'm saying
I remember people, it very, very well.
Yeah, the people snapped up those shares. I was fortunate to get a couple, not as much as you, you know, but
I was caught up in the political rhetoric at that time, and I didn't buy any.
You didn't buy any?
I was stupid, and I listened to all the political rhetoric and didn't buy any.
Yeah, but the thing is that when the National Bank shares that was put up, I was unable to because the price was slightly higher. And I remember speaking to a financial analyst, and he said that had the price been $1 or $1.10 or whatever, they would have been subscribed within a matter of fully subscribed or oversubscribed, anybody, within a matter of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't happen, and Barbadians didn't take kindly to it, being not of investment culture.
Yeah.
And so we lost out there. Mm-hmm. So that is the circumstances. It got nothing to do with selling.
Hopefully, going forward, I will think that our level of communication would improve immeasurably
in
everything, so that Barbados can be more in tune of what is really really appreciate what is happening. Because, quite frankly, there's too much politics in these things. And as a younger man, and with not as much insight. I listened to the politics and I didn't take anything else into consideration. Anyhow, I want you to make a point before we have to
quickly,
go.
Quickly, about the CCJ. And I am a bit concerned too. I don't think that Barbadians have a difficulty, although I do, but majority of Barbadians have a difficulty with the judgment that I made. But it is the comments associated with this judgment. Now, not only that, Mr. Price, if you had a daughter and she was brutally murdered, strung up, and then left on the bed, and your courts, the courts in Barbados, pretty reasonable, impose a penalty And that penalty was reduced to the effect that it only seemed that the chap could walk out of prison within 10 years. Mr. President, you would be pleased? You would not be pleased? And the headline,
but Skipper, that's just one case, you know.
Yeah, but
and I must tell you that I believe in death penalty, eh? I don't care who like it or dislike it.
But what I'm saying,
you're Henrik killing my daughter, and you want to be killed, and you should be killed too. Full stop. I don't compromise on that.
Right.
But I understand where you were coming from with that case, but that is just one case. In my view, the CCJ matter is much bigger than that. But you have one more minute, so quickly, you end the conversation.
I'm saying that the editorial is saying here that there are many laymen in Barbados who were upset with the CCJ decision. But there's also saying further up that the court has not been proven wrong. Now, I'm saying to you, that where are the instances where the court...
We need to take a commercial break here, and then we'll go straight on to the latest. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. It's 12:45. Remember, we go until 1:30. Let's go right back to the phone line since we have a whole set of calls. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sanka. How are you, sir?
I am well. And how are you today?
I'm trying to stay as focused as I can be.
That's very good.
Yeah, but that's the only way to be. To try and stay as focused as you can be.
So you're ready to go there and vote?
And don't be distracted.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, two quick points, Anchor.
Mm-hmm.
One, there's this gentleman that goes and clean Brandon Beach every morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, along with the other beach goers. And they have Brandon Beach from the farmer right down to Wizards in immaculate condition. To the point where tourists go there every time there's a cruise ship in the port to relax. And Beijing's are like, they utilize the area because it is very nice, beautifully, well done. But you know, the upsetting thing about that, Sanka, is that people go and walk the beach. And walk the beach with the dogs. And the dogs stool in the sand. And they don't ever clean it up. And they got little children playing in the sand and things down there on weekends. And you know, when if sand go on dog stool, it can look like a rock. Hello?
Yes, I'm listening with you.
Yeah, no, I'm saying that if sand go on dog stool, it's going to look like a rock. Mm-hmm. And chances are the electrician might take it up, figuring it's a rock, when it is actually dog stool, and that they want something doing about it. You know, if you bring your dog to the beach to walk it, that's fine. But bring a bag and take it the dog stool, any dog stool in the sand.
That's a necessity. A necessity in large countries, you know, as you walk your dog along the parks and whatnot. Yeah. And really and truly, it's very irresponsible of anyone who owns a dog. To have them walk in the street, your dog poo like that, and you don't pick it up. And you see, it's a real health issue, because I remember years ago doing an article with someone for the Better Health magazine, where this person apparently... they went on the beach and they lay down on the, you know, they were laying on the sand as you do, and there's this worm that enters your body, okay, and it really causes some problem. I really can't remember the name of the worm and that sort of thing now,
but I know
it really causes a lot of problems. So it is not a small issue. It can turn out to be a seriously health threatening issue. So it is really a problem, and I would like to encourage all those who walk their dogs on the sand to be more responsible.
Anyway,
that is true, to be more responsible. Anyhow, you have another point, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, the other point is this. Before I go, the dog, so that it has any worms that get into the children's skin, not because the children's skin are so tender.
Yeah.
And the other point I want to really think is this. There seems to be a cartel racket in Barbados. And I ain't hear nobody talking about it. And they're looking for the kids Fishman in St. Thomas tell me that they're looking for MZ's, Axios, Navaras, and small Suzuki cars. And that's what they are stealing like hotcakes. And I want to know what the police don't come out and say something about this. I want people or say something or the other, because it is real. And I would like something said about it. I would like somebody caught and sent to prison for a long time. Make an example of that person. Because a car, whether you want to believe it's Sanko or not, a car is an investment. And when you buy your car, you invest in your car to take you to work, take you home, take your family out driving a Sunday, or in case of emergency, you got your car. And a car is an investment. And I don't understand why people would be so intent on stealing people's cars. And they want to hear the police come out and say something about this, because it's a very serious matter. And they will come out and speak to it when somebody chops somebody with a collar, or somebody pepper somebody or something. Come on, that's my two contributions for the day.
Well, thank you very much for your contributions. Well worth it. This is Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today, sir?
I am trusting, my friend.
You're trusting in the Lord?
Yes, that and all this trust for a better day every day.
That's very good, sir.
Yeah. Mr. Price, I want to just quickly share with you that your slip might be showing a bit. Sometimes I know, Mr. Price, and let me say this, I have listened to your program on almost every day. I don't really call, but I'm prompted to call today. And just because I have the time as well. I know that sometimes when some callers call you and seek to share their opinion with you, that you seem to become very incensed. And I'm asking that you try to moderate that a bit. I would also like to draw to your attention one where I think you read a comment either from the chat or from WhatsApp, where the person had challenged the journalists in the country to do some research and indicated that if they had done research, they would be able to bring some balance to some of the things that are put out by the political parties. And I realized that you indicated that it is not really in the journalists' purview to have to do the research, that the parties should bring the information or something like that. Well, please correct me. Don't let me misquote you, sir. Just correct me.
I was making the point. The person was making the point that the BLP had given a number of solutions. Mm-hmm. And I made the point that the journalists would have taken an opinion from the Barbados Labour Party, and they could use that to counter what is being said by the government. But at the same time, what a lot of us tend to do, we'll go for the person who's the neutral person, okay? Someone preferably living outside who has an expertise and who is respected, because we're talking economics. The point that I was making at the end of it is that it is the BLP's responsibility that if they want their solutions out there and the public to hear their solutions, to find a means to get it out there, not for the journalists to push what the BLP is saying.
Okay.
That's the point that I was making.
You are not, your point was that you are not supposed to be pushing their agenda.
We are not supposed to be pushing the BLP's agenda.
Right. Mm-hmm. Fine. But Mr. Price, would you say then that the journalists also can look at what they present and look at what the other side has said and seek to have some degree of balance?
Of course.
For instance,
but that's the whole point. And that's why you go for those third parties, because...
Yeah. What I'm looking at, Sankar, mm-hmm. is that you will go for the third parties to strengthen what you have found or to elucidate further what you have found. For instance, let's say we look at what the Barbados Labour Party has presented, and let's say we align that to the last budgetary proposal of the finance minister, which would mean that the last budgetary proposal is what is supposed to guide the country in the next financial year. Is that a correct assumption?
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. You keep going. Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's say that we took that and we align what they have proposed to what was indicated at that time. The circumstances, the environment looks like the same and seems to be remaining the same, and determine, are they varying far away from it, or are they in line with it? Have they brought anything new, or have they brought something that when you align it to what was presented, it is really going to make the situation worse? What it's that kind of analysis that I was thinking that mm-hmm. the caller may have been asking for from the journalist. Because what I'm hearing right now in the both political arenas is that we are hearing a lot of proposals. It sounds like come Friday, we're going to have milk and honey flowing in the streets of Barbados. And there's no real comparative analysis that have been done to really inform the public other than playing to their emotions and their sensitivities. Now, for instance, I'd like to ask you, Mr. Price, over the years, even from the opposition leader, the Minister of Finance, the opposition leader, the private sector, you, yourself, David Ellis, the radio stations, they have all been saying that we need to reduce expenditure. Am I correct in that assumption, sir?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have all been saying we need to reduce expenditure. We have recognized that or observed that.
Hold on. We need to reduce the not only we need to reduce the expenditure, I don't think you can encapsulate it just like that. You have to reduce what you're spending money on. In other words, you have to make more informed choices. That was one of the things. That was really the emphasis. Because that was just the emphasis. You go ahead, because I don't want to take any more time.
No problem. Now, if we're saying that we are supposed to reduce expenditure, and the then Minister of Finance was indicating that we are not, or GDP is not growing, we are not earning enough, everybody indicate, yes, therefore you have to reduce expenditure. Can you help me?
Again, you're stressing reduce expenditure.
Yeah,
I'm saying to you, it is reducing how you're spending the money and what you're spending the money on. That was the emphasis. Because, for example, the SOEs, the state corporations, with transfers and subsidies and those types of things. So it's what you're spending the money on.
All right.
That was more of the emphasis from my estimation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Would you
over expenditure?
Okay. And at that time, it was indicated that the expenditure was being managed, that they were trying to ensure that the social services, such as the hospital, the education, and those immediate social services that will impact the livelihood of the citizens were maintained to a certain degree. Hence, the expenditure in other areas were being reduced. If that is the case, sir, and we have not generated any further income, there is no indication that our GDP has grown. All our sectors are basically floundering. We would have also recognized that there were some initiatives that were put on the table to help shore up the foreign reserves. Those have not translated or came to fruition. Some of them been stalled.
The reason, you know, you're going through all this, and I understand where you're going with this, but you know the point that you are missing and this is the point that I've always had a difficulty with the argument of the government, is that it is piecemeal. If you're looking at a situation from a comprehensive manner, you then approach it in that way. If you approach it in the sense that, okay, you are going we have to focus on this. We have to look after our social services. And right. and you're not focusing on the overall economy and the growth because you're shifting your resources.